time. The silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
Sorry, Helen. What was it?
Surely this isn't why you brought me to dinner. To ignore me.
Helen,
You've been staring off into space ever since we got here. Can't you tell me what's bothering you?
I've been trying to. I thought it would be easier to stay here. After all, we met at Michelle's and...
Well, go on.
And we say goodbye at Michelle's.
I see. Just like that.
I'm taking the midnight plane from London Airport.
To where?
Paris.
Paris. May I have a cigarette?
Of course.
Thank you. Am I allowed to ask why?
You won't like the answer. Helen, I'm sorry. I thought... Well, it seemed much kinder somehow to tell you in the place where we've... Where we...
Where we fell in love. It's not hard to say. Not if you really want to say it.
All right, Helen, you've asked for it and I'll tell you. Let me introduce you to the genuine Max Jeller.
I know him.
Oh, no, you never met him. He depends on people like you, Helen. The girls with attractive fortunes.
Max.
Why do you think I came to your table that night? I knew darn well you were Helen Morgan, that your father, Sir Michael, managed the Morgan Trust that would eventually be yours. £500,000 sterling.
I see.
Oh, there's a lot more. I knew that if I could play my cards properly, it'd be good for 20 or 30,000. But your father would pay that much to prevent even the suspicion of a scandal.
Blackmail.
Exactly. I was even rather proud of my record up to that time. More than a dozen neat fleecings and never a brush with the police.
I think I'd better be going.
You might let me finish my confession. Oh, I've been questioned once or twice, but never convicted. Fingerprinted once, but that's all. And then 3 months ago, I came in here. And you were here. I asked you to dance, and as we danced, I was mentally calculating how long it would take me.
How long did you give me?
A month.
That was 3 months ago.
That month went by, and I couldn't face the thought of not seeing you. Second month, I kept telling myself not to be a fool, that Helen Morgan was just another bankroll. Let me come to now.
Is that why you couldn't tell me? Because you didn't want to think it was true?
I love you, Helen. Goodbye. Helen, turn this thing around and drop me at the airport.
How can you know what my father thinks of a marriage between us until you've asked him? If you love me enough to leave me, surely you can bring yourself to beard father in his den. He's not exactly an ogre.
Oh, I should have known you'd pull off some stunt like this when you followed me out of Michelle's. I should have cleared off to Paris without telling you.
Max, I'll turn round. If that's what you really want.
Keep driving, Helen. At least you'll find out there's no chance for us.
And another thing, Gerard, I've been wondering when Helen would decide to bring you home. Cigar?
No, thanks, sir.
Oh, they're very good, I assure you. I have them brought over from Jamaica.
No, thanks.
I must admit I thought you'd have come to me earlier than this. Help yourself to drink.
Sir Michael, I...
Usually it doesn't take this long, I'm informed. You must be slowing up, Gerard, getting rusty in your technique, perhaps. Ah, that's got it. Well, how much do you want?
Father...
Be quiet, Helen. That is what you came for, isn't it? Well, isn't it, Gerard? I suppose you have a letter that Helen's written to you, something I'll need to buy back.
You've known about me all along.
My dear fellow, I can afford to allow Helen to indulge herself on occasion, if she chooses to do that with a cunning, contemptible, blackmailing crook. I can even afford that. Now, will you have that drink?
I think I'd better.
Father, please, you've got to
listen to me. Whiskey, Gerard.
Thank you. Don't, Helen, leave this to me.
You don't want me to pollute this stuff with soda, I hope. No? Good. One thing puzzles me, Gerard. Why did you come here with Helen? Is that usual? Cheers.
Good, Helen. If you've quite finished, Sir Michael, I'd like to tell you why I'm here tonight.
You were right, Max. It's no good talking to him.
I was stupid enough to want to believe that there might be a chance for Helen and me. And don't think she doesn't know about me. I told her everything tonight. And when I left her, I was on my way to pick up my plane ticket for Paris.
Did you say a chance? A chance for what?
To be married.
Now, listen, Gerard. Get out. Get out before I have you thrown out. And be on that plane, Gerard. If you ever set foot in England again, I'll have you arrested on sight if I have to part with my entire fortune to fix you.
We'd better go, Max.
You're not going anywhere, Helen. You are not to see this criminal again.
I'm going to marry him, Father. You can't stop me.
So, that's it. No blackmail, eh? I should have given you more credit in the first place. You're cleverer than I thought, Gerard. My reports weren't thorough enough. All right. How much to buy you off? What is the current price for husbands?
Not a cent, Sir Michael. Goodbye, Helen.
I'm coming with you.
All right, Gerard. You can increase your price now. I'm threatening you with a gun. That ought to cost me a few extra thousands.
Oh, please.
Keep back, Helen.
Give me that gun.
No. Helen, don't be a fool.
Do you think I want to harm you, Helen? It's this black...
I've killed him.
Helen, stop that. Helen, listen to me. Stop it, you hear? Stop it.
I killed him. My own father. He hit me. You hit me.
Darling, I'm sorry, but you've got to listen to me. It was an accident. You were both holding the gun, fighting for it. It might just as easily have been you that got shot.
Oh, Max, what do we do?
I'm going to call the police. Helen, take the car. You can be at the airport by midnight easily. As soon as you've gone, I'll ring and cancel my seat on the Paris plane, then book it in your name.
But, Max, it...
Have you got a passport? Good. Go to Paris and stay there till you hear from me. I'll take care of things here. I can make this look like suicide.
Oh, darling, don't send me away from you.
Do you really think I want to spend the rest of my life on the run? Afraid to turn around in case I feel a policeman's hand on my shoulder? Blackmail is my line, Helen, not murder. Do you think I'd even consider marrying a murderess? If you don't like the thought of prison, then be on that plane.
I mean it.
I mean every word of it. Now listen to me, you little fool. I can fix things here. No one saw us come in. Leave this end to me and stay away from me. Now get out while the going's good.
I should have let you go. I must have been crazy not to have seen you for what you really are.
Darling, I wish you had. Now, the gun. Get the fingerprints wiped off and... There, that should do it. Put it on the floor about here. His glass, yes. Now mine. And the letter from Helen. Ah, yes, here we are. My darling Max, I wanted to know that I... Yes. Yes, just a thing. I'll crumple it up. Couldn't be better. Helen's fingerprints... No, she was wearing gloves. Now the phone. Hello, London Airport. Oh, this is Max Gerard. I had a seat booked on the midnight flight to Paris. Yes, that's right, Air France. That seat is being taken over by Miss Helen Morgan. Yes, that's right, Helen Morgan. Yes, she'll be at the airport in approximately half an hour. Thank you. Good night. I think, after all, I might try one of your cigars, Sir Michael, while we both wait. Hello, police? This is Max Gerard speaking. Yes. I think you'd better send someone over here right away. Yes, that's right. I've just killed a man.
Gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution firmly believes, and indeed will prove to you beyond a shadow of doubt, that the defendant, Max Gerard, shot down his victim in cold blood when his attempt to extort money from Sir Michael Morgan met with the contempt, the scorn, and refusal it so richly deserved. We will prove to you, gentlemen of the jury, that learned counsel for the defense has no foundation in fact on which to establish the defendant's innocence. The Crown will further prove... Your name is Max Gerard, is it not?
It is.
Mr. Gerard, will you tell the court just how you earn your living? By my wit?
And you?
Would it not be safer, and indeed more accurate, Mr. Gerard, to describe your profession as that of a common blackmailer?
Prisoner guilty or not guilty?
We find the prisoner guilty as charged.
Sometimes we may wonder why a football team doesn't quit playing and walk off the field when it finds itself 50 points behind with only a few minutes of play to go. What is that indomitable spirit that fills men with hope and keeps them going in spite of terrific odds? Keeps them going just to play the game according to the rules, just to get the job done as well as they know how. This kind of spirit pervaded the feelings of heavy bomber crews of the Ninth Air Force on that day of glory, August 1st, 1943, the day of one of the most secretly planned surprise bombing missions of World War II, the day of the low-level attack on the Romanian oil refineries at Ploiești. More than 170 B-24 heavily loaded bombers took off in a swirl of red dust from Benghazi, Libya, to bomb a highly defended priority target. The element of surprise in the low-level attack was to be one of their greatest weapons. But things went wrong from the start. Three planes exploded during takeoff operations. 11 more aborted due to engine trouble. Of those that reached the target area, less than one-third returned to home base. The leaders of the mission encountered navigation difficulties and difficulty in identifying the specific targets. And due to the loss of that elemental hope, surprise, they also encountered devastating enemy firepower from flak and fighters. The mission was partially successful, but a horrifying experience. 5 medals of honor were awarded to the heroes of the Ploiești raid for valorous action above and beyond the call of duty. At any time, the men would have been justified in turning back. But they had a code of conduct that made them want to see the unequal game through to the end. It was a job that had to be done. A charge of the light brigade in the air as they flew down the valley of death to glory.
Peters, for the umpteenth time this week. Can't you do better than that?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Gerard, but I never was that good at chess. Working in a jail makes a man's brain sluggish, I reckon.
Oh? I should have thought in a job like this that you'd have had all the practice in the world.
Not all of them like chess, you see, and...
Well, let's try again, shall we? Come on, set him up.
Yeah. I must admit, though, Mr. Gerard, that you don't half play a hard game to beat.
You've got to concentrate, man. Think further ahead than your opponent. I'll play without my queen and...
Is there something wrong, Mr. Gerard?
Hmm? No. No, I was just thinking of a night I spent at Michelle's.
Wait, I don't know a place of that name.
And then you must go there sometime, Peters. The music is discreet, the cuisine excellent, the service impressive. And you meet the most enchanting people.
If you'd rather not play then, Mr. Gerard...
What? Oh, yes. If I win this game, Peters, I'm afraid there's no hope for you. Now, let's see. Yes. King's knight to bishop 3.
That's right. Yes, sir. Here I at once, sir. Has the river patrol been notified? Very good, sir. Yes, I'll take Detective Sergeant Wardrop and get down the embankment right away. All right, Wardrop. Let's get going. Looks like another waterfront killing and... Hey, Waldrop, I'm talking to you.
What? Oh, sorry, Bertie.
Are you still thinking of that Gerard case?
Yes, I am. There's something I don't like about it.
Look, it's the first time you've handled a murder case, isn't it?
Yes, but...
I can remember the first one I was on. Once the poor devil had been sentenced, I began to have all sorts of doubts. Wondering if I'd interpreted the facts correctly and all that sort of thing.
That's not only that. The fact that, from the little we know about Gerard's past activities, this murder is out of character.
Now listen to me, Wardrop. If people didn't step out of character, there wouldn't be any murderers. Right?
I suppose so, but...
Who was it rang us up in the first place to admit the killing?
Gerard.
Whose fingerprints were all over the gun?
Gerard, but...
And the letter from that girl was still there, lying on the floor where Sir Michael must have thrown it, wasn't it?
It all fits, I admit that.
Yes, and then at the last minute, Gerard changed his mind and claims the police forced a confession at him. Pleads not guilty. Tries to claim he was beaten up. No. No, Gerard's a no-hoper, Wardrop. I've known more than one blackmailer try his hand at murder. If you ask me, you're wasting your sympathy on a man who sponged on women all his life.
But there's the girl. Where's she? She can't have just disappeared into thin air.
Ah, she'll turn up. Wouldn't you want to vanish if you were in her shoes? And discovered that the man you were in love with was going to blackmail your father?
Well,
come on. We've got to get down to the embankment. Come in.
Detective Inspector Burton, sir. There's a young lady here who says she's got to see you at once. Says it's urgent, sir.
What's her name?
Miss Ellen Morgan, sir.
Ellen Morgan? Show it in, Constable.
Will you go in, miss?
Thank you.
This might be it, Burton.
I'd like to speak to the man who is in charge of the case against Max Gerard.
Ah, won't you sit down, Miss Morgan? I'm Detective Inspector Burton, and this is Detective Sergeant Wardrop. He's the man you want. I'll leave you to it, Wardrop.
Right, sir.
We've been very anxious to find you, Miss Morgan. I wouldn't hope for too much, Wardrop.
Mr. Wardrop, you've got to stop them hanging Max Gerard. You've got to.
Sergeant, miss. Now, suppose we start with first things first, Miss Morgan.
There isn't time for that, don't you see? In 4 days from now, he's due to... He didn't do it.
Do you know who did it, then?
Of course I know. Now, listen to me, Sergeant. It was like this. Max was booked to go to France on the midnight plane that night. I pleaded with him not to go. I followed him out to Michelle's, and I said if he'd made up his mind, well, then I'd drive him to the airport. But I drove him to my home. I persuaded him to talk to my father. And then, when he got there...
And something's come up that makes it imperative that we go back over the events of that night. The night of Sir Michael Morgan's death, Gerard.
You'll move, I think, Peters.
Mr. Gerard, I think we...
It's all right, Peters. Well, you don't want to talk about it. Hey, Gerard?
Wardrop, the case is closed, finished. And so are you, Peters. Checkmate.
Very neat. Did you know that Helen Morgan has returned to London?
No, I didn't.
She wants the case reopened.
What's wrong? Hasn't she got a pound of flesh?
She claims that she killed her father.
She claims what?
Her story is quite convincing, Gerard. In some respect, it falls into place very neatly. You were at Michelle's with her that night. You did leave, and she followed you out, right?
Correct.
You'd said goodbye to her at your table. You were flying, that is, to France on a midnight plane.
True.
What made you change your mind? According to Miss Morgan, she drove you to her home, where you both spoke with her father. He tried to buy you off when you asked to marry his daughter, and when he couldn't do that, he produced a gun. There was a struggle between he and his daughter, and the gun was fired.
I see. Tell me, Wardrop, did you see any sign of a struggle when you got there?
No, but...
Do you think if there was the faintest chance for me, I wouldn't grab at it, clutch it like a drowning man? Why do you think I changed my plea to not guilty at the last moment? Because I was terrified, Wardrop. Because I realized I put a noose around my neck.
Why'd you change your mind about that plane ticket? Why'd you ring the airport and book a seat for Miss Morgan, canceling your own at the same time? I've checked the time of that call, Gerard. And it must have been shortly before or right after Sir Michael was killed.
Wardrop, I'm touched that Miss Morgan should go to such lengths on my behalf. But hell hath no fury like a woman, etc., etc. Where's she been all this time? Why has she left until now to come forward? Does it occur to you that she might be trying to, prolong the agony? I killed her father, Wardrop. If she could arrange for me to start hoping that she really could help me, wouldn't it be much more satisfying for her when she kicked the ground from under my feet?
You haven't answered any of my questions.
Ah, the phone call to the airport. When I left Michelle's, Helen did follow me, and she did say she'd drive me there. I knew that I had to get rid of her. After all, I had an appointment with her father with regard to a certain letter. I laid the foundation of my plan to get rid of her in Michelle's when I told her I was tired of him and was going to Paris.
Go on.
Well, she started to drive and began to plead with me not to go. She said she'd do anything I asked if I'd only stay with her. So I told her then that I had a letter she'd written to me that I intended to sell it to her father. The letter you found in Sir Michael's drawing room.
Yes?
that did the trick, all right. She stopped the car and began to tell me that she'd never be able to face her father. We argued back and forth for some time, but suddenly she stopped pleading with me and said she was going to leave England, that she wanted to go away and hide. She's a very emotional girl, Bordrop.
And it was then that you thought of letting her have your seat on the plane.
Exactly. I got rid of her and rang the airport to cancel my own seat and book it for her. Then, with Helen safely out of the way, I went to see her father. The rest you know.
She did tell me that she'd been unaware of the fact that we were looking for her.
Where has she been all this time?
In a little village called Leclerc in the south of France. She claimed that she couldn't bring herself to even buy a newspaper. She wanted to forget that she'd killed her father. Or try to.
Well, Rob, you haven't a very high opinion of me, have you?
What if I haven't?
Do you think if Helen Morgan had been in that room with me when her father was shot that I would have helped her get away? I'd have done my darndest to incriminate her.
All right, Gerard, have it your way.
If you like, you can give her a message for me.
Such as what?
Tell her I think I'm much safer where I am. Here I've only the law and Peter's abominable chest to contend with. Out there, Helen Morgan loved her father very dearly, Wardrop. I wonder just what kind of revenge she has in mind for the man who killed him.
You can't let him die. You can't. Oh, how many more times do I have to tell you I'm the one you're looking for? Don't you see that he knew that with what you know about his past, you'd believe him guilty?
Miss Morgan, we've checked his story a dozen times. He's not worth what you're going through, nor the sacrifice you're trying to make.
And he won't even see me. Do you know why, Sergeant Wardrop? Because he's afraid I'd make him tell the truth. Oh, he planned it beautifully. From the time my father was killed. When he saw that I wouldn't leave, he told me he wasn't going to marry a murderess, that he wanted only to be rid of me. Well, I'd lost my father. I'd killed him. And from that moment on, I thought I'd lost Max, too. And he set out to save me at the cost of his own life. Well, I hid myself away, nursing my grief and shame.
Miss Morgan, you're forgetting one thing. At his trial, Gerard changed his plea. He claimed we'd forced a confession from him.
I know why he did that. He had to be the Max Gerard that you knew until the end. He wanted you to think that he was searching desperately for a way of escape. To convince everyone that he was a guilty and frightened man.
I brought your cigarettes, Mr. Gerard.
Oh, thanks. Peters, will you do me another favor?
Yes, I can, sir.
When this is over, will you go and see Helen Morgan?
If that's what you want, sir, yes.
Tell her that when the pain is gone, I hope she'll sometimes remember the music that Michelle.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Joe. Joseph.
Yeah, I'm up. Pour the coffee. I'll be right in.
Relax, it's 3 a.m.
Huh?
I said relax, it's 3 a.m.
I was relaxed. Daphne, why did you wake me up?
Well, I was just wondering what happened to our savings bonds.
You were what?
I had a dream. I dreamed you lost all of your money and all we had left were our savings bonds.
I see.
So I just wanted to make sure they were all right.
They're all right. They're with the other important papers.
You're sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Well, I just don't want anything to happen to them. Savings bonds are the most secure form of investment. Why, the whole faith and credit of the United States stand behind those bonds of ours.
Uh-huh.
So they're even better than dollars in your pocket because the government stands behind them and protects them.
Uh-huh.
And they protect us too, Joe. Every bond is an investment in our country, in our security and freedoms. Joe? Well, how about that? He feels so secure he went back to sleep. Good night, darling.
Be listening for another mounting drama of action and suspense when we again bring you The 11th Hour.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.